Well, good morning and greetings. It's a beautiful day to be worshiping our Lord, and I do welcome you all here to hear from the Word of God. I'll run through a few quick announcements for you this morning. We've got a action-packed service today, I'll call it. We get to hear a little later on from our new regional pastor, Phil Heiser, and the youth group. We're going to share their experiences at Worldview Academy. Should be a wonderful time and a wonderful way to hear what God is doing and how he's working in our church. Today, after the service, we're going to have a short coffee hour so that you can meet Phil Heiser and his family and get to know him, ask him questions about our synod if you like, and invite you to please stick around for that afterwards. Today at 3:30 is usual Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship gathering. Then Wednesday is Family Fellowship and Kids Bible Club, starting at 7 o'clock. And then next Sunday is worship service at 10, as usual. Reminder that today is Communion Sunday, and we do practice open communion, which means that anybody who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for everlasting life is invited to join us at his table. We will be doing that at the end of the service today. Today is also the day, because it is Communion Sunday, that we take up a special love offering that goes to a fund that helps those among us who have special financial needs. So I invite you to prayerfully consider giving to that fund and helping to take care of those who are near and dear to us. CLB Women's Retreat is coming up, October 16th. I know that seems a ways out, but I wanted to get that out there, especially because the deposit, if you're interested in going to that, is due at the end of the month. Women's Retreat is going to be held at the Furs in Bellingham, Washington, and there'll be quite a few people carpooling by the sounds of it. So if that's something you're interested in doing, please see the bulletin board in back. There are, I believe, some brochures and posters back there you can take a look at for that women's retreat. Just a quick reminder that men's chorus is singing next week for special music, so if you're involved in that, please stick around for a quick practice after the service. I think we'll do that immediately after the service this time so we can all get off to the coffee hour real quick. And a reminder, too, that the summer schedule is coming to an end. Our regular fall schedule starts on September 13th. Sunday, September 13th, we'll be switching to Sunday school starting at 9:30 and worship service starting at 10:45. On that same day, we will be having a ice cream social to kick off the Sunday school year starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on September 13th. Invite you to come out for that. We're taking sign-ups for homemade ice cream, for cookies, pies, cakes, all that kind of good stuff. So I invite you to think about bringing something for that. There also will be a free will offering being taken that day that will go towards the Lifeline Pregnancy Care Center, which does some amazing work in this community for those who are struggling with or thinking about abortion. So I invite you to prayerfully consider giving to that. Are there any announcements I've missed this morning? Yes, Joel.
Just an update. I did find out that I received an offer for a job.
Fantastic. A wonderful update from Joel. Most of you know that with the transitions at Albertsons there, his job was being eliminated, and he has now received an offer. So definitely good news. We can be praising God for that, for sure. All right, well then let's begin our worship service in the name of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, with our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 34, verses 12 to 14. You can find that in your bulletin or up on the screen there, maybe. Well, I invite you to please read that psalm with us this morning. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And with that, I'll invite you to turn with me to our first hymn this morning, which is hymn number 9, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. hymn number 9. I'll invite you to please rise as we sing together. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there. And you may be seated. Well, it's at this time that I get to invite Phil Heiser up to share with us a greeting from the Church of the Lutheran Brethren, share scripture and prayer with us, and tell us a little bit about how the Lord is moving and working in our western region here. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. It's really been a joy to be here this weekend, to be with Pastor Jeremy and Shannon and Honora, and to be able to get to know them better, to get to know more of you as a church. You have a beautiful church here, and you also have a beautiful building, too. But you know what I mean, that you are the people of God, you are the church. And it is a joy. It's a joy for me as a new regional pastor to be out and visit our congregations, to see God at work in some very common ways and some very unique ways as he is expressing God's law and God's gospel through you as a people to your community around you. The ministry of a regional pastor. What is a regional pastor? Sometimes I'm asked, what is your purpose? And really it is to come alongside in encouragement, in equipping the pastors and the congregations for doing God's mission. And sometimes even just to bring some refreshment in times where there is weariness, fatigue. We face a very challenging and very wonderful time as a church to reach out into our community. Sometimes we see just the challenges in front of us and the hardships and the obstacles, and we can sometimes be discouraged. But this is a time when people are hungry for the truth. They're hungry for hope, hope that's everlasting. And I'd like to share a little bit about that ministry for just a couple of minutes. But before that, it's important that we frame all of it in God's Word. God's Word is our light. It is what guides our steps and the path before us. And so I'd like to share with you from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. And it is our epistle text for this 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Paul writes, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that it becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." There's a lot in that. But as I come to you as your regional pastor and you hear these words from Paul, hear about the gift, God's gifts to you, the gift of the light of his truth, the gift of the foundation that we have in Jesus Christ and our worship and our ability to come together, our freedom to be able to come together and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together, to hear from God's word, to receive his sacrament, to be refreshed and renewed Sunday by Sunday. The wisdom and discernment, did you hear that in there? Paul talking about the urgency of our time and the need for us to walk in wisdom and in purity. This is a hard road in front of us. And without a good, gracious God to lead us, we could wander easily. And so my passion is to come alongside your pastor and your elders and to help you, by God's grace, to walk in that Spirit of the Lord and the truth of his word, and to be able to reach out into the community of Napa to love people who are in darkness, who are walking without wisdom, without truth. We don't come as though we have it all figured out. We come as people who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and we desire to love them. And so as you seek more of what that means and the will that God has for you as a church, it is my joy and it is my privilege to walk with you in that journey. Prayer is one thing that really will knit us together. And I want you to know that I will be praying for you as a church, be praying for Pastor Jeremy and for Shannon, for Honora. And I plead with you to remember them in your prayers every week. Keep them in your prayers daily. Ways that you can be praying for us, our region, our synod. We have two churches emerging, re-emerging, you could say, in Pasadena. We've had a long, fruitful, wonderful history with Emmanuel Lutheran Brethren Church, 77 years there. And they are moving forward by God's grace. Pastor Larry and Irene Olson, Pastor Larry accepted the call. He's been there for about 3 months, and they are moving forward in ministry there. And ask for your prayers for them. I was just with them last Sunday. And pray for Emmanuel Lutheran Brethren in Pasadena. And then we have another church that God is planting also in Pasadena, Redemption Lutheran Brethren Church, reaching a different group of people, reaching primarily a millennial group of people who do not know the Lord. And so Kyle and Erica Sears, who are working on that church plant there, are building relationships in the community. It is missional work in our own backyard. the mission work that we have heard about for decades, happening in Japan, Taiwan, Chad, and Cameroon, it's happening now in North America in almost the same way, reaching out into places where, as Paul said, there was darkness, and they are coming to bring the light of Christ, to be the love and the fragrance of Jesus Christ. So pray for the Sears and for Redemption Church also in Pasadena. Pray for Grace Lutheran and Edmonds, as they are seeking for the Lord's direction and leading for them, as they are seeking a pastor and they're trying to understand the Lord's leading for them as a church. So we have these things emerge in our region from time to time, and there are changes, there are challenges, and it can be, as you felt at the time when there was a change here, and Lord, what's going to be your plan? Plan for the shepherd of our congregation, the plan for us as a church. And so I bring this to you so that you know what that's like. You know the fears that we can be tempted with. And pray for that faith that would fill them as they move forward together. Ways that you can stay connected with our region. If you're a Facebooker, you can go out and search at LB Pacific. It's all one word, LB Pacific. And you can be part of our Facebook page, and every once a day I post out there a prayer need or an announcement that's happening in our region. And I know that for our churches, this is true in the Southwest, it's here true in Idaho. Sometimes you can feel like, what are we a part of? How can we feel more connected? And so that's one way that you can both be prayed for and pray for others. We'll have a new website coming this fall, also lbpacific.org, where you can follow that. So I'll be working on that next month. And we'll have a newsletter that will be coming out, which is another way that you can be praying for our churches and be celebrating what God is doing in our congregations and learning from one another as well, what's happening out in our sister churches, what ministries are new that are bearing good fruit. So look for those things, the Facebook page, the website, and the newsletter coming. But this is my opportunity to pray for you as well. And in your bulletin are the prayer needs that are listed there. I'd ask your prayers for us as our family. I'm here with my wife, Wendy, and my son, Tim, and my daughter, Maddie. And I would ask prayers for them. They're also getting to adjust to my new role, and with the challenges and the travel that comes with that. And so pray for us as we embark into our fall together, that God would continue to bind us together in God's love. But for you as a church, you see the prayer needs listed in your bulletin. How can I also be praying for you? What are things that we could take to the Lord this morning in prayer? I heard this morning, was it Joe down here with the job that he's... Joel, thank you, with Joel. So we can praise the Lord for that and for the Lord's provision for him and his work. Are there other things that we could be praying for as we go to the Lord in prayer? Yes. Tell me your name, too, so I can...
My name is Sharon.
Sharon.
And I just like prayer for my husband, Lauren, who's having some issues with his gout and his legs. And quite a bit of pain.
And your husband's name again was?
Larry.
Larry. So pray for Larry, struggling with the gout in his legs. Yeah. Others? Yes?
My name is Hazel, and I'd like prayer for the part of the Austin family that's needing to go to Ethiopia this week.
Wow. So the Austin family on their way to Ethiopia this week, on a mission, I assume, then?
Or is... going back to where they came from.
Oh, going back to visit. Okay. Going home. All right. Sweet. That's also a mission. So pray for safe travels. Yeah, sweet time there in Ethiopia for the Austin family. Wonderful, thank you. Yes? Yes, for the fires happening right now. Absolutely. Yeah, we drove through some of those just to come out here. So I can tell you, we literally drove through fires to come and be with you today. That sounds really dramatic. Then, yeah. I mean, they literally were about 50 yards off the highway. It was kind of surreal. So, great. Got a couple more here from Pastor Jeremy. Oscar Nelson, who fell, hurt his foot. Want to pray for Oscar. And also our college students who are going to be leaving here soon. So heard some of those those stories. It's an exciting time, can be an anxious time, a lot of mixed emotions as our young people move through this this passage of life, and so we want to keep them in our prayers as well. Other prayer needs? Yes. Wow. Okay. It's a big weekend. Yeah. So pray for that safety and the time away from family. And yeah, sweet reunions to be back together and with that certification completed. Great. And what's his name again?
Peter.
Peter. Okay. Pray for Peter. It's pilot training this weekend. Anyone else before we go to the Lord in prayer? Very good. Well, let's go and look to the Lord as we bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your gifts of grace. Lord, you are good. We are an undeserving people. We sin daily in thought, in word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. As we confess our sinfulness to you, we know that you joyfully forgive and separate our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. We thank you for your unfathomable mercy and grace. Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for your word, which is taught in all fullness and boldness and truth. Thank you for Pastor Jeremy and Shannon and Honora. I ask your blessing on them and that you would put a hedge of protection around them, their marriage, and their family. I pray for the ministers of this church that all here would seek you daily in your word, that they would seek to honor you in sharing their gifts of their time, their talent, their treasure. That you would give each one here a deeper passion to reach just one more soul in their sphere of influence for your kingdom. I pray that you would make this church one in spirit and purpose, and that you would guard their unity together in love and truth. Father, I pray for our region. I pray that you would reveal more of your plans and purposes for us together. I pray, Lord, that you would give us and for myself discernment and wisdom to provide the best care in each of our Pacific region churches. Lord, for the upcoming women's retreat. Father, for those that could come. Lord, we know it's a stretch. Sometimes it's a stretch to go a long ways. We know it's a stretch in finances. We know, Father, it's a stretch out of our comfort, and I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would work to provide that sense of boldness and purpose and opportunity, Lord, to be a part with other women in our region, to be encouraged, Father, in our unity we have in you and as being part of the Lutheran Brethren family. Father, for the needs before us this day, Lord, we submit these before you. Lord, we thank you for Joe and the opportunity for Joel and for the job that has been provided, Lord, and for the ability he has to work and to serve. And Father, we just pray for him in this time of transition. Lord, I pray for Erin, Lord, and her family. Lord, pray you touch her body. She continues to struggle, Lord, and to recover from this illness that she's had for some time. And Father, may you touch her by your will. And Father, even in this storm, may she continually feel the presence of your Spirit walking with her and encouraging and equipping her, Father, for her bright and beautiful future ahead. Father, for Larry, as he's struggling with the gout in his legs, God, I pray Lord, you give him peace and give him healing. For Peter, for being away from family and during an anxious time, Lord, as you are preparing him to serve with Mission Aviation Fellowship, Lord, what a calling that is to serve. What a being out literally on the front lines in many situations there. And as he prepares for that, Lord, I pray that you would be just guard and bless his family. Lord, to give them that united sense of mission, even in the times when they are apart. Lord, for Austin, for the Austin family, Lord, as they are preparing to travel back to Ethiopia, I just pray for safe travels. I pray, Lord, for joy, peace, blessed time together, Lord, as they make that long trip. Lord, for the fires that are seemingly just raging all around. Lord, we pray for our firefighters. We pray for those who are putting their lives on the line to protect properties and lives. Lord, we pray for the rains to come, Lord, that would put the fires out. Father, for Oscar, who's fallen and hurt his foot, Lord, we ask for the touch again there of healing for him. And for our college students, Lord, who are preparing to make what is a significant transition in life, Lord, we pray for their minds, their hearts, Lord, that you would be planting them in good Christian fellowship in places where they can have their souls fed and also be able to serve and begin to discover more and more of the talents and the abilities that you've given them as they move into the world of college, Lord, and all of its challenges and excitement and opportunities, Lord, the way they walk in that wisdom and discernment that Paul speaks of in his letter to Ephesians. Father, for all these things, Lord, for the service before us, the opportunity to hear how you're at work in the lives of our young people, to hear from your holy word, to receive your blessed sacrament, Lord, to all this, we give you thanks and praise. It fills up our cup that we can go forth from here as your disciples to praise your name and to serve you with the strength and all the ability you give us. Lord, in your name, in your son's name, we say thank you and amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Phil, for sharing with us this morning. It's really important for us to be reminded sometimes that we are part of a much larger church family, a church family that exists beyond these four walls. You know, the larger church family of our Pacific region, the larger church family of our Church of Lutheran Brethren, and the largest church family, which is that capital C church, Christ Church, across the world. And so I appreciate you coming up and sharing with us and just exactly how the Lord is working and moving among us today. Well, this time I get to invite up the members of the Young Ladies Bible Study to share with us some special music this morning.
Spread some cheer. There are sad and lonely people everywhere. Be a friend. dungeons of despair. Show a little bit of love and kindness, never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary, give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make this world a happy place, a happy place. Offer help,
bring some hope
to the fading and discouraged on life's road.
See a need,
lend a hand,
lend a hand.
There are many who are crushed beneath their load. Show a little bit of love and kindness, never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make this world a happy place.
Be a light.
Show the way.
Show the way.
Be a light within the dark for those astray.
Speak a word.
Speak a word.
Loving word.
Loving word.
That will bring them back to walk the narrow way.
Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make this world a happy place.
A happy place.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought.
Thank you so much, ladies. That was fantastic. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that I saw some of you good Lutherans resisting the urge to clap along with that first song. That was great. Thank you, ladies, for helping us praise the Lord this morning. Well, I'll ask you this time to turn with me to hymn number 206 in your hymnals. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high is our next hymn this morning. Hymn number 206, and I'll ask you to please rise as we sing together. Love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond man's gift to prophesy, that God the Son of God should take our mortal form for mortals' sake. For us baptized, for us he bore his desert pass and hunger sore. For us temptations sharp he knew, for us the tempter overthrew. For us he prayed, for us he taught, for us his daily works he wrought, by words and signs and actions thus, still seeking not his Father but us. For us to wicked men betrayed, all scourged and mocked with thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death, for us gave up his final breath. For us he rose from death again, for us he went on high to reign, for us he sent his Spirit here to guide, to strengthen, and to boundless love has won salvation for us through his Son. To God the Father glory be, both now and through eternity. Please be seated. And now let us continue our worship of God with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, you are the Lord of our salvation and the author of grace. Not only have you provided grace enough to save us, but you have graciously provided us with all our needs in this world. You've provided for us in abundance. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give back to you what was already rightfully yours. And we pray that you would bless these gifts and multiply them and put them to work for your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. this next week or so.
Standing in the same spot as I usually do the kids' story, but today I'm going to ask my youth group kids who went to the Worldview Academy with me to come up, and we want to share and thank you, our congregation, for helping us get there. That's our purpose for this. Just go ahead and make yourself comfortable. Yeah. You can hide behind each other if you want. So we're all going to share a little bit about our experience. I want to give just a brief overview before. I guess we'll probably let Julia go first. We said we're going to go oldest to youngest. Yeah, I know that scares you. We talked about this just a little bit before, so some of us are more scared than others, but it's good for them. We piled into two vehicles Sunday morning. Pastor Jeremy let us borrow his minivan, and Derek Blestrud drove his brand new truck with about half of us. So we drove down, made it there in the afternoon, and started our get-together that Sunday evening. We spent a week there. The kids themselves, you'll notice the shirt colors, they're actually broken up into four different teams. Green, red, blue, and yellow. Dakota was green. Bethany was a red. And Rye was also a green. Rye couldn't be here today. Rye was also a green. So they were broken up into four different groups, but then they were also broken up into individual groups. So they were not together, which was a total shock to me, because I went with the expectation that it would be similar to our youth convention, where I would kind of be shepherding them and moving them from place to place, getting to spend. When I found out they all had their own small group leaders, I was like, oh, they're taking my kids away. So that was a shock to me right away. And I think it was a little bit of a shock to them too, because I hadn't prepared them for that. But I did get to talk to the leaders who were of the academy, who were great. We got to spend every breakfast together. Not only that, I went to the seminars with them and got to see them and waved them almost any chance I got. We did spend, during this time at the Worldview Academy, about 25 hours in lecture. We all got a notebook like this, and the lectures were broken up into worldview, leadership, and apologetics. So the 25 hours were all broken up into those different classifications. Sounds kind of weird, but I think we would all agree that was probably one of the highlights. Sitting in there and just getting to learn from these teachers, it was really fun. We had a worship time every night where we got to sing. One time they even sang a song that we sing here, so we kind of did a little dance of joy. Maybe Dakota and I more than others, but that was fun. One of the biggest challenges, and when the kids share some of their individual stories, the kids were sent out Wednesday afternoon to witness. They went to Old Town Sacramento. They were in small groups, and they went out with a Bible track, and they talk to strangers. That was one of the biggest steps out of their comfort zone, I think, that any of them had done. And so that was a great thing. On the way back, Jeff Cleveland came and picked us up. We piled in again the two vehicles. We spent some time at Lake Tahoe in fear of bears. But we never saw a bear, but we just heard stories that there were bears in the camp before we got there, and there were bears there in the day when we were away, but we didn't see them. But that was a really great time. So I do want to make sure that Jeff and Derek know how grateful we are that they helped us. But also, thank you so much. We couldn't have got there without your support. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for allowing the kids to go. They represented you so well. We have a great, great group of young people. They act like teenagers, but not like the teenagers that get the bad stuff, you know. I know the parents are shocked to hear this, but they're very mature. They're responsible, and they're a joy to be around, and I mean that sincerely. So I'm going to turn the rest of this over to them. If you want to stand by, if you want to use the podium, you can.
Okay. So first I want to say thank you to all of you who supported us. We're just so grateful that we got to go, and that was because of you, so thank you. We have four things we're supposed to talk about. I don't know if we have to or whatever, but the first thing is our first impressions and how they changed. And when we first got there, they told us to look for people in red shirts, and you couldn't miss them because they were jumping and running all over the road trying to just make us excited and stuff. It was kind of scary. One of them came over and actually opened our car door and was like, "Hi, I'm going to meet you." And, okay. And they took our stuff and ran. And anyway, but by the end, we knew that they were awesome people. These were the small group leaders, and they really cared about us, and they were excited about just getting to know us and helping us grow in our relationship with God. And so that was really awesome. We're supposed to talk about what scared or challenged us, and the thing that scared or challenged me the most was the evangelism, because we had to walk up to strangers, and that was scary. But it was actually probably worse just looking forward to it than actually doing it, because when you're doing it, it was just great to actually be able to talk to people about what they believe and why they believe it and stuff. So the next thing is something that we liked. I really liked the small group time. I got to have special time with my group of girls, and my group leader even prayed one-on-one with me, and we ran through the sprinklers, and it was fun. And I also really, really liked the lectures. A lot of them were great. And that's the last thing, something I took away. There was a lot of the lectures talked about what specifically we can do with our worldview to apply it to the world around us. And that was really great to remember that it's not just something we do in church. Our faith is our whole lives. And so that was worldview for me.
Okay, so kind of going off what Julia said, when we first showed up there, it was me, Ben, and Rye in Derek's truck. And we were all just zoned out sleeping. And all of a sudden, we could pull up, and there's like four or five guys just jumping around like, "What is going on? Like, why are they jumping and all this such?" So that kind of were like, "All right, what's going on here?" But then we realized, hey, that was just them being having fun, trying to get us excited for the whole camp and everything. I'd have to say my favorite lecture was by one of our speakers named Randy Sims. He basically broke down what it meant to be a leader and why most of us are afraid to become leaders. He said that, like, he had a bunch of the audience just shout out things like, hey, pride is one of the things why we're afraid to be a leader, or it'll corrupt us or something like that. And then on top of that, our small group leader really challenged our small group to become leaders of the camp, because we were the oldest there. So he really just pushed us to even become more leaders than what we already are. And I'd have to feel like, coming back now, God has definitely really helped me become more of a leader through that camp.
To be honest with you guys, I didn't really want to go at first to this camp. I thought it was going to be boring, and I was just not really sure of what to expect from the camp. But when I got there, my mind was totally changed. It was a super, super high-intensity camp. Our days were planned down to the T. We woke up at, 7:30 and went to devotionals at 8, and then we went to breakfast at 8:30, and then we had, a two-hour lecture, and then we went to lunch, and then we had all these activities that were planned out for us, down to the minute. And it was really structured, so we didn't really get much free time. Which was cool, I guess, but I was really tired by the end, so. the first day we were there, the first whole day we were there, one of our speakers, his name was Andrew Fry, I didn't know it was him at first, but he was dressed up as a Muslim, but he was, pretending to be a Muslim, which was weird, and he was, speaking about his religion and why we should convert, why his is better than ours, and you could feel all the tension in the room, and everyone was like, what in the world, what is going on here, because this is supposed to be a Christian camp and we're not supposed to be learning Muslim stuff. But it was really funny because at the end he took off his hat and he's like, I'm not really a Muslim, and it was kind of cool. But it was just watching him speak with so much intelligence about another religion, kind of getting an insight into what they believe. That was probably the coolest thing for me. But other than that, small group time was amazing. And I think I had, me and Alyssa, we had the best small group leader. She was fantastic. And our group just became really close, which was awesome. We were best friends by the end, and it was great. And we still keep in touch with those girls, Facebook, Instagram, all those social media outlets. But yeah, all in all, I'm really happy that I went, and I really want to do it next year.
So one of the things that surprised me was how everybody was jumping on the cars when we got there, they already said. And I liked the lectures a lot more than I thought. They really helped me grow in my faith, I feel. And one of my favorite ones was the one on apologetics. It helps me understand why I believe what I believe and stuff like that. And one of the things that challenged me most was going out and evangelizing to everybody, just talking to people about their faith and just going up to complete strangers and talking to them. But it was really fun, so. And the meals were all really good. We got to eat a lot of great food, and the cooks were really nice and stuff. And, yeah.
Okay. Something that surprised me about camp was, like Greg said, not being with the youth group the whole time. I was expecting us to go at our own pace and go into lectures together and leave together and hang out the whole time, but it wasn't like that, and I really didn't like that at the beginning, but by the end, I really loved being with my small group, and I didn't want to leave them, so. Something that challenged me was being apart from the youth group. And I guess being apart from the youth group, I really loved the lectures. I liked evangelizing too. I was really scared to do that because I'd never witnessed to anyone before, went up to them and talked to them about their faith. But I actually really liked it, and the people I talked to were really open to what we said, so they were really good about it, and that was nice. And I guess something that I'll take away from it is to be a good leader, and to even when there's peer pressure about certain things, that we just have to obey what God's word says and obey him and serve him. So yeah.
Okay, just like basically everyone else, when I first got there, I was kind of freaked out because everybody was jumping at us and asking our names and just took our stuff. And but once we kind of got settled in and met our groups and our group leaders, I started to really like it because, I mean, Bethany's group leader was really awesome, and our whole group just really, like, clicked really quickly. And it seemed like everyone there had so much energy, and, like, we were all tired when we got there, but after a little while, it kind of rubs off on us, too, so we got into it. And I was also challenged by the evangelism, but it was actually really cool to talk to people, and it was, like, kind of sobering because there's so many people that don't know about God, and they just have no idea, and it was really cool to tell them about him. And I really like small group time because we got to talk about our faith and we got to just be girls and talk. And I made a lot of good friends for life, and I'm really glad about that. And we also had a quiet time every day for about 20 minutes, and that was just us with our Bible and God. And I just really enjoyed that, and I'm trying to do that every day now that I'm home. And it was just a really good experience. So, yeah.
When we first arrived, mind you, we left at 5 a.m. that morning, and so we were all really tired and kind of half asleep, and it was really scary to see, like, these jumping, like, red people, like, bounding towards your car.
Getting a chance to spend with your teens, seeing My Lighthouse with Dakota, sneaking up on some of them during their quiet time in the morning. My favorite lecture, we got to go to a lecture where talked about the history of the Bible and how it was put together. Also, one of the key points with me was recognizing as Christians that we are a brand. We represent a brand. Everything that we do is part of that brand. So it's kind of a challenge. What kind of brand are we representing in our lifestyle as Christians? It was awesome. I want to thank you guys so much for allowing these kids to go. I ask that you continue to pray for them as they are challenged by the world just as you are. Thank you for letting us come up and spend this time sharing. And I hope that our experience blessed you. So, thank you guys.
such an encouragement to us to hear what all of you experienced at that Worldview Academy, and that it was so worthwhile, and that God really touched your hearts and your minds through this experience. So thank you guys for sharing. I'll invite you now to turn with me to hymn number 444 in your hymnals. Hymn number 444 is "The Master Has Come." And please rise as we sing that hymn together. The Master has come and he calls us to follow the track of the footprints he leaves on our way. Far over the mountain and through the deep hollow, the path leads us on to the mansions of day. The Master has called us, the children who fear him, who march neath Christ's banner, his own little band. We love him and seek him, we long to be near him and rest in the light of his beautiful land. The Master has called us, the road may be dreary and dangers and sorrows are strewn on the track, but God's Holy Spirit shall comfort the weary. We follow the Savior and cannot turn back. The Master has called us, though doubt and temptation may compass our journey, we cheerfully sing. Press onward, look upward, through much tribulation, the children of Zion must follow their King. The Master has called us in life's early morning, with spirits as fresh as dew on the sod. He's learned from the world with its smiles and its scoring. He's cast in our lot with the people of God. The Master has called us, though death and his daughters, plead for his blessing and trust in his love. And through the green pastures, beside the still waters, lead us at last to his kingdom above. Amen. And today you can go ahead and be seated. I know we normally stay standing for the scripture reading, but it's a long one today, and I'm worried your knees are going to get wobbly as we go through it. But I also had a couple things to say about it. The reason this text is so long today is because I didn't filter out the parts of this text that the pericope wanted me to. You know, the selected reading for today has me reading just verses 1 and 2 and then skipping over to verses 14 and 18. But it's really hard to do verses 14 through 18 justice without reading everything that came before them. And so far today, you've heard a few scripture readings dealing with walking in the light, walking according to the Lord's commands, being God's people and acting accordingly. And this verse today is really going to help us to figure out our motivation for doing so. Why do we walk according to the Lord's commands. Is it walk this way or else? Or is there something deeper to this? And so as I read through this text, as I read through this text today, it's going to sound kind of like a really boring history of Israel. You know, it's going to sound like the most boring history lesson you ever heard. But instead of hearing what it is that Israel did in history, I want you to instead listen to all the actions of God in Israel's history. All the things that God did for Israel. And it's going to be a whole lot more exciting. So if you have your Bible handy, I'll invite you to turn with me to Joshua. Book of Joshua. It's going to be Joshua chapter 24. And I'll be reading verse 1 all the way through verse 18. Joshua 24, 1 through 18, reading in Jesus' name. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and their judges and their officers. And they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. From ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who lived beyond the Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you. And the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your own sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went, and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." This ends the reading of the word. So, do you see now why it is that I really wanted to read the whole thing? Right in verse 14, we have that very important word, right? Therefore. We like that word, therefore. Now, what have I said before? When we see that word therefore, what do we ask? What is the therefore there for? Right? Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. God is telling the Israelites that they are to serve him and fear him for a very specific reason, for a particular reason. And that reason is all of the things that he has already done for them. All of the things that he did for Israel that were recounted in verse 2 all the way through 13. And so let's take a little flyover of what it is that God did for Israel. The first thing that God points out is the fact that Israel's fathers, Israel's family tree, you might say, Abraham, you know, Abraham's father, Terah, Abraham's brother, Nahor, these people's family tree was rooted in pagan worship. Their family tree was rooted in a land where they served other gods, not and didn't serve the one true God. And so God graciously acted to call Abraham out of this pagan land so that he would be released from his bondage to false gods. And the next thing God does is gives Abraham a family. Now, this is a miraculous accomplishment in and of itself, given the fact that Abraham and Sarah, by this time, were very elderly, to say the least. But God was gracious to them. God overcame the laws of nature and biology and gave them a son, Isaac. And after that, God worked as kind of a miraculous matchmaker to give Isaac Rebekah as his wife. And Rebekah, just like 100-year-old Sarah, well, she was barren. Rebekah was barren too. But God, once again, graciously overcomes nature and biology and gives Isaac two sons, Jacob and Esau. God graciously marks the younger one as the one who would become Israel, the father of the 12 tribes. Then, as if that isn't enough, in the midst of his brother's murderous sinfulness, God graciously preserves Jacob. God sends Jacob to Egypt, providing a place where not just him, but his whole family would be safe from this great famine that was in the land. Jacob and his brothers and his father were going to starve to death. But then after a couple of generations after this, Israel becomes enslaved by Egypt. But you know what? God, again, is gracious. He delivers them not only from their slavery in Egypt, but also delivers them from the armies of Pharaoh, who were trying to hunt them down. And then, promising to give Israel the land that they had been promised so long ago, God went before them to clear out their next big threat, the Amorites, people living in the land. Rather than having to fight these battles themselves, God graciously fought Israel's battles for them. God drove out the heathen nations and provided safety for them. But after all that happened, Israel found themselves with a new enemy. Not an enemy with armies, but a false prophet who was hired by King Balak to curse Israel. But rather than listen to the very fervent but grossly misguided prayers of Balaam, God graciously forced Balaam to bless Israel instead. Then, upon arriving in the promised land across the Jordan, Israel found themselves with a brand new onslaught of enemies, a brand new group of people trying to destroy them. But again, instead of Israel having to rely on their own military strength, God graciously worked miracles at the wall of Jericho and among the Amorites and Perizzites and Canaanites and Hittites and Girgashites and Hivites and Jebusites and all those ites. Right? God was the one who won the battle for Israel. And God was the one who then went on to graciously drive out the last remaining kings of the Amorites, without Israel so much as having to lift a sword or draw a bow. And then, finally, when all this dust had settled and the land is now safe for Israel, God makes yet one more proclamation of his grace. He says that he's given them a land that they did not have to work for. He's given them cities that they did not have to build, and vineyards and olive groves that they did not have to plant. Through all these things that God has done for them, Israel now finds themselves in a nicely packaged, ready-made land given to them as a completely free gift. And now they are settled in, and they're enjoying the fruits of everything that God had done for them. And it's after that last proclamation, after all these descriptions of how God had overwhelmingly shown Israel his free grace, that we get to the therefore. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Well, duh. I mean, of course I'm going to serve the Lord. After everything he's done for us, darn right I'm going to serve the Lord. Can you just imagine that being Israel's response to this request? After all the incredible ways God had created a nation out of nothing, all the incredible ways he had kept them safe and preserved them through just some horrible hardships, after he destroyed the enemies that destroyed them and gave them a land to live, of course they want to serve the Lord. Wouldn't you, after all that? If your entire history is wrapped up in the supernatural acts of God and you're enjoying the benefits of his actions, you're going to want nothing less than to serve the Lord. And that's what this text is about. God asked the Israelites to fear and serve him, not that they could earn his grace, but because he has already acted so graciously toward them. You don't have that benefit, do you? Your history isn't created and produced by God, is it? I mean, God didn't lead the Scandinavians against Germany to take over their land and have it as and run all their Volkswagen factories. Right? God didn't strike down the Queen of England so that the Scottish and Irish could inhabit. God didn't send the Hornet into the United States so that Canadians could come and live in Chicago and New York and Boise. Now, we do that from the inside out, you see. We come across peacefully and get in that way. No, God didn't do any of those things for you. But he did something far, far greater. And we can see in Israel's history an image, a kind of a foretaste of just how graciously God acted for you. And we can see, as we watch, how God called Abraham out of his pagan land and out of his worship of false gods. We see how each and every one of us, we were all born into a pagan land called sin. Each and every one of us was born sinful, naturally fearing and serving anything but the one true God. But through this word, God has called you out of that state of total helpless depravity, hasn't he? He has given you faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that really does leave behind the false gods of our own making and turns our eyes to him instead. Now, after he calls Abraham out of Ur, he proves to Abraham that he has the ability to create life where there was no hope of life. Sarah was barren, Rebecca was barren. And yet God creates life in these barren women. Now with you, being dead in your sins, hopelessly dead, unable to do so much as lift a finger toward God, God gives you faith in Jesus Christ. And with that faith comes the promise of new life, a brand new life, one where you now live seeing God as ruler and creator, seeing God as Savior and Redeemer, seeing God as one who breathes into you that life that has overcome sin and death once and for all. But Jacob, what about Jacob? Jacob, being called by God, falls on his brothers look to kill him, but God graciously protects and preserves him. All right? Now you, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you might as well have a big red board painted on your forehead. Because Satan, in his murderous hate, does not want you to belong to the God that he rebelled against so long ago. When you come to faith in Christ, you come under attack by the forces of darkness. But God promises to graciously protect you and preserve you. As you're living out your life in this world that really is ruled by Satan himself, God provides you with all the armament you need to be protected from his attacks. God promises that none who have been given to Christ will be lost. God promises that the faith in which you stand will not be prevailed against by the gates of hell themselves. Now Moses was called by God to graciously lead Israel out of their bondage in Egypt. They're in bondage and in slavery to Egypt. You too were in bondage and slavery. Not to a country, not to a certain people, but you were in bondage to sin. A slave to God's law. Slave to a law that could do nothing but convict you of your sinfulness. A law that could do nothing but show you the fact that God must condemn you for that sin. But now, through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been released from your bondage to sin. You have been released from your slavery to the demands of the law and have been freed to live out that new life that God has bestowed on you. In Israel, once Israel's freed from Egypt, God prepares a land for them, doesn't he? God prepares a place where they can dwell safe and secure, a place where all enemies have been driven out. So long ago, in the heavenly realms, God cleansed heaven from Satan and all his armies, providing a place where he alone rules. A place where righteousness and truth rule. But a place that was barred from you because of your own sin. Your own sin prevented you from ever hoping to live in God's heavenly kingdom. But Christ, having come and removed your sin completely, having laid his righteous robe your shoulders, has flung open the gates to the kingdom of God. This promised land, the kingdom of God, has been given to you. And you know what? You're living in it right now. Through faith in Christ, even though you still walk this earth, you are now living in the promised land, God's kingdom, ruled by Christ your Lord, and heir to all the wonderful promises that this kingdom has to offer. And when you finally do leave this earth, you will dwell in that promised land forever. Safe and secure, with no chance of anything ever threatening you again. Neither Satan and his armies, nor even your own sin, will ever trouble you again when you arrive to live in that promised land. Has your history been created and produced by God himself? Yeah, it has. It sure has. God has shown his grace to you over and over again. And not only that, your future has been created and produced by God himself. And now, with your future secured and your salvation secured, therefore, fear and serve the Lord. That's it. Fear and serve the Lord. Not to secure your salvation. That's already been provided for you. Not to assure your salvation. Christ has provided that for you. Not gain heaven. Christ has already provided that for you. But fear and serve the Lord. Not so that God will do something great for you, but because of what great things God has already done for you. And in the power of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, you will do just that. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and Almighty Father, you have shown us just how deep your grace is. You have shown us just how much you have overcome for us. You have overcome sin and death. You have overcome Satan and his angels. You have defeated them. You have overcome our own sinfulness and our bondage to the law. Lord, your grace came before we ever deserved it. In our sinfulness, we did not deserve to be freed, to be prepared a place. We did not deserve to be protected. But you graciously sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die our death on the cross, to raise again to life so that we might have hope. So, Lord God, we thank you for all these gracious things. And we pray that in your power, we would serve and fear you all the days of our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last hymn this morning is hymn number 449, which is Take My Life and Let It Be. I'll invite you to please stand again as we sing hymn number 449 together. My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my and let them move Please be seated. It is a beautiful and gracious gift of God that we get to gather around his table this morning, drawing strength and encouragement from this, his body and blood. So let us begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us hear the invitation that our Lord gives us in the Holy Scriptures. From Matthew 11:28, we read, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And from John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And at this time, I would ask you to please rise as we confess together our faith as it is expressed in the Apostles' Creed. And you may find that in the front of your hymnals. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen."